yesterday's attacks and other things.
Some say that he does have ties to Muslim extremists. I don't know.
The Daesh terrorist group, which once controlled vast parts of Iraq and Syria, has collapsed. The monster terror network, which terrorized the whole world over the past years, is now in tatters with its remnants in the region fighting a lost battle. Daesh was dealt decisive blows by an anti-terror front consisting of the Iraqi and Syrian armies, local popular forces, Iranian forces, the Russian Air Force, and Hezbollah fighters. A coalition put up by the United States also took part in the battle, but was heavily criticized for ineffectiveness, foot-dragging, and even cases of backing the terrorists instead of fighting them. The rise and fall of Daesh has provided the international community with important lessons at the cost of thousands of lives. Many scholars have warned that a failure to fully identify the roots of the creation of the brutal killing machine could lead to even more bloodshed in the future. This is because the self-proclaimed caliphate of Daesh is something of the past, but not its dangerous ideology, namely Wahhabism. There are still those who preach hate and intolerance in the name of Islam and get funding from certain regional states. Experts believe terrorism has to be confronted both militarily and ideologically so that it is left with no room to grow. It was in 2014 when Daesh atrocities in Iraq grabbed the headlines around the world. The group took advantage of instability in Iraq and the conflict in Syria. It took violence to a whole new level and brought a new definition to terrorism. From the very beginning of its activities, the terror group engaged in nefarious crimes such as mass killings, abductions, and beheadings. It widely used social media networks as a propaganda platform to promote its violent ideology and recruit. It drew thousands of foreign militants, including many European extremists. Remnants of the former Ba'athist regime in Iraq are said to have formed the core of the terrorist network. Daesh made lightning advances against the Iraqi army and captured large swaths of Iraq. It also crossed into Syria and seized control of major cities there. Heavy machine guns mounted on brand new pickup trucks, modern communications equipment, and armored vehicles used by Daesh terrorists revealed it was heavily funded by foreign powers. Saudi Arabia and Qatar were among the states that stood widely accused of arming and funding the network. That's because they have been strongly pushing to oust Syrian President Bashar al-Assad and apparently preferred a weakened Iraqi government. In June 2014, Daesh leader Ibrahim Awad Ibrahim al-Badri al-Samarai used a sermon in the Iraqi city of Mosul to declare the establishment of a caliphate he called the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. The Daesh leader, who is better known as Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, announced plans to expand ISIL-controlled territory beyond the two countries and threaten regional governments to recognize the group or suffer terrorist attacks. The group portrayed itself as an Islamic foundation, but Muslim scholars and leaders have declared that the group's actions are against Islam's teachings and values. Daesh strictly adheres to Wahhabism. The group's ideology has also been described as takfirism, which means all other Muslim sects are infidels and must be killed. That's why Shia and Sunni Muslims were both targeted by the terrorist group in Iraq and Syria. Saudi Arabia is widely seen as the ideological father of ISIL. Wahhabism, which is the dominant line in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, leaves no room for dialogue or tolerance and basically encourages violence and extremism. The monarchy spends heavily around the world to preach and promote its dangerous ideology. Wahhabism has been condemned by Muslim leaders as a distortion of Islam. They argue that peace, coexistence, and tolerance are the most fundamental tenets of the divine religion. Bombshell revelations, some made by top Western military officials and diplomatic sources, have shown how the United States and its regional allies were deeply involved in the rise of ISIL. For instance, retired Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, the former head of the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency, says the rise of Daesh was a willful decision of the administration of former U.S. President Barack Obama. Leaks also show that the United States was fully aware that its allies Saudi Arabia and Qatar were funding and arming Daesh. A batch of leaked emails sent and received by former U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton reveals the highest ranks of the U.S. government knew well Riyadh and Doha were providing covert financial and logistics support to Daesh, but did nothing. Perhaps the most embarrassing revelation about America's destructive role came from Donald Trump while he was running for U.S. president in 2016.
ISIS is honoring President Obama. He is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS. Okay? He's the founder. He founded ISIS. And I would say the co-founder would be crooked Hillary Clinton.
Daesh and its backers had perhaps predicted that the group can topple the Syrian and Iraqi governments soon and even expand to neighboring countries. But as the terror network grew, so did an effective front against it. A powerful regional anti-terror force has practically brought the monster killing machine to a halt. Right when Daesh was expanding its territory, the Iraqi and Syrian governments turned to their friends to seek help in the tough battle. Iran agreed to send military advisors to the two countries to lead anti-terror efforts. Such assistance prevented Iraq's northern Kurdistan region from falling to ISIL. Meanwhile, Lebanon's Hezbollah resistance movement sent its fighters to Syria. The Iranian and Hezbollah forces helped roll back Daesh gains across the region. The campaign on the ground was mostly led by the commander of the Quds Force of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps. Major General Qasem Soleimani is a named Daesh mastermind, if alive, and their backers will never forget. General Soleimani has turned into not only a national hero for Iranians, but an anti-terror icon in the Middle East. Back in November, he declared the fall of Daesh and congratulated the victory of the regional anti-terror front. Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps has been especially ruthless in fighting the terror network. For instance, days after Iran's parliament came under a deadly Daesh terrorist attack in June, the IRGC, which is portrayed as an organization supporting terrorists by the U.S., launched a devastating missile strike on Daesh control and command centers in Syria's Deir al-Zor. One of the major factors that tipped the balance of war in Syria against Daesh was Russia's air campaign against terrorist targets. Russia began its airstrikes in Syria following an official request from Damascus. The air campaign started in September 2015. It came as a surprise to the United States and its regional allies. They had pinned their hopes on extremist groups, especially Daesh, to topple the Syrian government. The military intervention raised tensions between the West and the Russian Federation. The West and some regional states soon launched a massive media campaign to turn public opinion against Russia, but Moscow stood the course. An American-led coalition began airstrikes against Daesh targets in Iraq in June 2014. The U.S.-led coalition later began air raids in Syria. The coalition says it was working to stem the advance of the terrorists, but it was highly ineffective in doing that. The coalition was highly controversial because it included Qatar and Saudi Arabia, which were themselves accused of funding terrorism. The high civilian death toll in U.S.-led airstrikes in Iraq and Syria was another major source of controversy. Observers say the American-led coalition failed to deliver, mainly because it was never really serious about fighting terrorism. The Daesh terrorist group has now been practically defeated thanks to tireless efforts and sacrifices of regional nations. What happened in Iraq and Syria proved once again that regional problems require regional initiatives based on respect for the sovereignty of countries. It also exposed how U.S.-led campaigns in various parts of the world can exacerbate insecurity and give rise to new security threats.